So today we will begin a study of the book of Jonah, and I'd like to just very briefly give you the background. This book is written by Jonah, a prophet from Israel, from the northern kingdom. But Jonah is writing this prophecy in a biographical manner, and it concerns his ministry to the Ninevites, the capital of Assyria. Jonah, his name means a dove, and the date of this the writing of this book is about during the time of the around 760 BC, during the reign of Jeroboam II, one of Israel's most powerful and prosperous kings. So the duration of Jonah's ministry is not known to us in great detail, but to some extent, he was a contemporary of Hosea and also the prophet Amos. And more importantly for us to note concerning why he wrote this book, the theme of this book, and that is he is bringing out to us God's absolute sovereignty in both a natural and the spiritual realms. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2:9, and that sums up the message, which is evident in both Jonah's undeserved deliverance from death and Nineveh's undeserved deliverance from judgment. And the purpose is to teach us, God's people, is to teach the Israelites, and in fact to teach the prophet himself, our responsibility to deliver the message of salvation to, in our modern language, to share the message of the gospel to others around us. And this, and his message of salvation, is to prefigure Christ's death and resurrection in Jonah's experience. And the reason why I was thinking which book to study for our afternoon worship, and so in view of the current situation in Europe, which of course many of us will think or consider that it is something very distant from us. After all, Ukraine is so huge, and we are over here at this side. I was talking to or asking Sarah right now concerning her parents, and she said that her parents are a little bit worried because where her parents is living is closer to where we are to that conflict. So they are a little bit concerned. And so in view of that, I wanted to do a study with all of us so as also to remind us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Well, of course, we do not want to spend too much time in speculation, because if you do some reading in recent days, since the start of the conflict, there are well-meaning Christians and theologians and Bible scholars are speculating whether this whole event is the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38, and then of course in Revelation concerning the final battle of the Gog and Magog. It is plausible, but we do not quite or very certain about it. But nevertheless, we do well to take note even from this passage that there is a judgment to come, and God in his mercy sent his messenger to Nineveh to warn the people beforehand. And so our subject this morning, I just want to cover one interesting point that I did not notice in the past when I read and study this book. And so our subject is payment for disobedience. And you read in the middle part of verse 3, "So he, Jonah, paid the fare thereof and went down into it." And so as a general rule, we all know as we live in this world, wherever we go or whatever we do, we must pay in our travel. We pay the fare before we travel. Expenditure is certainly connected with every act, work and operation. All the process of nature involve a constant expenditure of power. For example, our human body, we cannot move an arm or a limb or contract a muscle without expense, without expending energy, the lifting up of our hands, the use of our fingers, the motion of our tongues, the stirring up of our brain in our thoughts, all cost something. And in using up our energy, and through usage, or constant usage, or regular usage, we cannot escape the fact that some wear and tear will occur in our bodies. We must pay our fare in that sense, for the universal law requires it. There is no avoiding it. And so this general rule of expenditure holds true or holds good when we enter also into the realms of morals and the community of spiritual things. Adam ate the forbidden fruit and paid dearly for the fall of all human race. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us in His boundless love, but not without paying the price. The free mercy of God cannot work its way among sinners except Jesus be spent to purchase man from bondage. Expense occurs everywhere in our salvation. The price of pardon was our Savior's blood. To purchase our soul, it costs His own. Thus, this principle of payment, this principle of expenditure, applies not only in the heavenly kingdom or in the heavenly realm, but also in our world, our sin-cursed world. Sinner must spend, but we often don't think of it that way, of course. Sinner must spend their money for the pleasures of sin, and for that which does not profit them or benefit them. But yet they must pay. They must pay for their deeds. He who would be saved must take care. He who would be saved must take care to sit down and to count the cost. Lest after having begun, as we are told in the Gospel, Jesus mentioned this, that lest having begun to build, the person who start this building project should not be able to finish it. Or, as Jesus said, which general will go to war with another nation without first knowing or counting the cost? So, let not him that think he is alone in his expending, for the transgressor's bill, of course, is not a light one. War of any sort is costly, but ungodly men will find that a war with God, the Creator of the Bible, is the costliest of all. It costs His soul. I shall begin my sermon to direct your attention to the payment for traveling to hell. The payment for traveling to hell. This is our first head for this sermon. There can be no argument, brethren, from the Bible that the sinner must pay, and pay dearly, for the sin that ruins his or her life and his or her soul. For the Christians, very few, except the most generous of Christians, would venture to say that they spend as much upon their God as the unbelievers squander upon their lusts. Let us begin to add up the bill. Let us count the cost. First, I would like to say this. We are met at once with a very heavy item. The man who would mix the world his idol and forgets God has at once, at the start of his journey, to pay down and place it in a sinking fund. All hope of God's favor and all expectation of the blessing which it brings. Man cannot run contrary to God's will and command and then expect that God will be his friend and savior and prosper his endeavors. If I set myself up in rebellion against this gracious, kind and merciful God, the Creator, I cannot suppose that God will make it his constant care to promote my interests, nor will he aid me and abet me in my evil doing or my evil scheming. Psalm 18 verse 26 says, "With the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." Again, the Lord warns us in Leviticus 26:21, "If ye walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you." Long suffering is God, and he does not smite the rebel with speedy or immediate ruin, but still it is written, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Psalm 7 verse 11 to 12. Moreover, the sinner who gives up every promise of God, reject the word of God, reject the promises of God, do not believe in the promises of God, pays the fare in choosing the road to condemnation. There is not a word in this book of divine love which can breathe or which can give comfort into the sinner's heart while he chooses his own rebellious ways. The Bible is a book of threatenings and of curses to the impenitent, to the unbelievers. Please note that you have renounced by your unbelief and rejection of Christ all possession in the rich promises of God. You who know how to calculate the cost, may I suggest that you mark this one item of expenditure to begin with and think very carefully, soberly, how heavy is the payment of your sin of unbelief, of not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the most respectable sinner whose life is outwardly moral, but whose heart is far from God, cannot avoid some disturbance of mind. So if I am not one with God, if I am not washed in Jesus' blood, if I am not sanctified by God's Holy Spirit, there is an aching void within me which the world and all that in the world can never fill. There is an inward voice which tells me there is something you want, a something that the world cannot give you, which you cannot earn for yourself. And I'm sure, brethren, that this is your experience, and you have experienced this before. Until you are truly born again, or born of the Spirit of God, you have no lasting peace. And those who make this payment of not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ has to make this expenditure, and it is a very heavy expenditure. You not only you will not have the peace of God, but if you have Christ, then the peace that God gives to you is like a river. Another expense, which is the worst, is that the man who goes to hell must pay the fare thereof in another way. How? He loses his soul. What that loss may be, no human can tell. No human words can describe. For we know, no one has ever came back from the place, from hell, where there is not a drop of water to cool the fire-tormented tongue. No one has came back from there to tell us what it is. But even that, if there is such a person who came back, even that will not convince or tell us or describe to us or help us in our understanding what exactly that place of torment may be. It suffices to hear and profit. Therefore, for those of us who are believers, it is enough to just hear and profit by the question of the Lord Jesus who asks us, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 6:26. How does the philosopher benefit from his own wisdom now that he is cast away from the favor of God and into the pit of everlasting torments forever? Let us then, therefore, if we have been deluded by the pleasures of sin, or have been tempted in any way to forget God because we have thought that the way of the world was easy, let us think again. Let us think very carefully that we shall have to pay the fare thereof, and that fare, that price, that payment is far too expensive to be paid by men of wisdom, of understanding. We dare not risk our soul and our body. We dare not risk life and death, heaven and hell, judgment and eternity, merely for the sake of those worthless, passing, delusive joys which the world pretend to offer us. Next we come, the next payment or the next point, and I want to consider this briefly, the payment for avoiding duty. The payment for avoiding duty. And this is, we see here, Jonah was tasked or commanded or instructed to go to Nineveh and preach the word. He preferred not to go. He chose not to go, and therefore he evaded the work. I trust that you and I as believers, you are not in the habit of doing the same like Jonah. But yet there are occasions where even God's servant, God's ministers, the pastors, shrink from their duty, and they seem willing to forget that where God calls, they are bound to go. That where God calls the minister, the pastor, they are bound to go. Brethren, if you and I do not make the sacrifice and the commitment when God demands it of us, God has other ways of taking away your treasured goods, your idols. In the long run, you will find far more expensive to shun the work and the will of God than at once to give yourself in obedience to Him. You will be a loser by your prudence. You shall find that the scripture rule holds good and true. When Jesus says what? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. If you are willing to be a loser for the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be a gainer. You can be assured of that. God is no debtor. And if you persist in going the broad way of sin, then you shall find that before long, you will have to pay the fare. You will have to pay the price to your own grievous hurt and injury. Look at Jonah. What did he lose? Well, I'd like to bring up a few points. The loss that Jonah suffered. Jonah had to pay as part of his fare the presence and comfort, comfortable enjoyment of God's love. You remember, right? The Sotho Catechism first question. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him. So, right now, Jonah as a believer, when he disobeyed God, he avoided his duty, he paid the price. The presence and comfortable enjoyment of God's love. He went down into the bottom of the vessel and hid himself from God. How foolish! He should know better, isn't it? As a prophet, as a servant of the Lord, as one who knows the word of God, he should know better. But yet he foolishly went down to the bottom of the vessel and hid himself from God. Jonah has lost the blessed fellowship and communion with his God and lost God's presence. And consequently, he lost courage. And this is the dear price you and I will have to pay if we, like Jonah, shun away from our Christian duty in disobedience. Brethren, when you and I worship and serve our Lord Jesus Christ as believers should do, we can remember that our God is with us. And through His Holy Spirit, He will help us. And though we have the whole world against us, we need not fear, we need not worry, because God is with us. But the minute we turn away from God and begin to seek our own invention and appeal to our own wisdom and understanding, we are all in big trouble. We are all at sea without a pilot, without a compass, and our great helper withdraws from us. Then we may bitterly lament and groan in misery and sorrow. This is a price too high. Let us return to our allegiance and to His presence. Jonah lost two great things. He lost God's presence and his own peace of mind. God took that out also. But this was not all. His loss and injury. Furthermore, Jonah was brought into great affliction of the soul. He tells us in Jonah chapter 2 verse 2, he cried. Why? By reason of affliction. Jonah 2:2. He cried by reason of affliction. He compares his state to the belly of hell. He was brought into deep distress. God in His mercy had intervened to save his life, but not to cheer his spirit. Learn from Jonah that sin soon destroys a believer's comfort, peace and rest. It is the deadly sap from a poisonous tree from whose leaves distill these deadly drops which destroy the life of joy and peace with God. Jonah had lost everything upon which he might have been comforted by turning to the promises of God or the promise of God that God would keep him. But it was not so for him. For Jonah was not doing the will of God. Therefore, brethren, friends, do not play the Jonah, for you will have to pay the fare of it. If you know that it is God's will, then in humility, submit and obey Him. The Lord Jesus warns us yet again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. May the Spirit of God give us the wisdom, and that we may walk circumspectly, not as fools, and comes up from above, and to lead us like a child to the feet of Jesus, and to learn the way of the Lord Jesus. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The psalmist tells us this in Psalm 32 verse 9. But do not be like the mule, but be what? Listen diligently to his command, to God's command, and then shall your peace be like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. One last point I'd like to make from this text. The payment of righteousness is already paid. This is the third head. The payment of righteousness is already paid. Jonah paid his fare from Joppa to Tarshish, but we are not told that he paid any fare to go back to the place where he came from. Did you notice that? The transportation that brought him to land, we are not told how he, well, whether did he go back to his hometown, but we do know that the transportation that brought him to land, not to his hometown, but to that land of safety, to Nineveh, was far cheaper than the ship of Tarshish, though not quite so comfortable. Nevertheless, Jonah came back to land with no expense to himself whatsoever. You see the great mercy, patience, the long-suffering of God towards God's people, towards Jonah, and towards his children. Jonah did not have to pay that fare to land safely in Nineveh. So we must pay much and do much in order to be cast away. But the way of eternal life and salvation is perfectly free. When Jonah was thrown out into the midst of the sea, the whale did not swallow him because he was a man of wealth and honor, or because he was a man of any good in himself. He was just a needy, destitute sinner, subject to the wrath of God, as expressed in that tempest and in that storm and in that stormy sea. And there came this friendly fish, which carried him into a living grave for 3 days, that his life might be preserved. And this illustrates very well concerning God's redemption of his people. Jonah's 3 days in the living grave of the whale is a very good illustration concerning the believer's salvation. You see, the believer's salvation went through Christ. Salvation by death and burial with Christ. We flee away, we trust by our self-righteousness to escape from the tempest of God's wrath, but we cannot. There's no other way out. At last, we feel that we are cast right out into the sea to perish. And then, as we think that God is angry towards us, against us, and there is nothing good in us, nothing upon which we can rely, and we see no hope of escape, it is at that moment God in His mercy. It is at that moment God in His mercy. Just then, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was our greatest crime, that takes us and brought us into a friendly shelter, a friendly refuge. And in that moment when we descend like Jonah into the waves and the pillow of God's wrath, and we think that God is angry and against us and roll over us, and we are down and out, then it is at that time that we securely landed to praise the name of God, our Savior. When our extremity comes, brethren, and then there is none to help at that moment, God prepares the way of deliverance for us, His people. Listen carefully, my brethren. We have sinned, and we must acknowledge that. We must honestly acknowledge that. And God helps us to feel the sin. Grievously, we have offended God, against God, by flying into His face and going the path that He would not want us to go. Can we return? Is there any way out for us? Praise and thank God, there is. Just as God in His mercy saved and delivered Jonah safely to land, so likewise, we have to pay our fare to go to the place of destruction, but we have no means to pay our fare to heaven. We are stripped of all hope in ourselves, penniless. Is there any way out? Is there any way to return to God by which we can find everlasting, eternal life and peace with God? There is. There is. Thank God that He did not give us up. And we should not give ourselves up, because God has opened a way for us. If we give ourselves up wholly to God, confessing our sin, if our soul rests alone upon the finished work of the great salvation provided in Jesus Christ. So that is the way out. We need not fear, because we have nothing but our God who has everything. Ask nothing from us. He does not save us because we are righteous, but because He is gracious. He will not deliver us because there is something good in us, but because there is everything good in Himself. Let me say to those of you who are still in spiritual slumber, careless of your soul, if you sleep much longer, you may wake up where your walking will be terrible. Hear what the mariner said to Jonah. What mean you, O you sleepers? Rise! In verse 6, so therefore consider soberly your future doom and your present danger if you persist in your unbelief in turning away from God. Though you may see no means of escape for you, yet there is. There is, dear friends and brethren. You may be despair, you may be down and out and thinking that God will be angry with you forever. No, dear friends, there is a means provided by God. And when you cast out from the sheep and left all other confidence and think that God's sea of wrath will cover you, then Christ, the Lord's only begotten Son, God has prepared Him long before as your great deliverer. And He shall take you up and bear you safely to land of eternal glory. May the Spirit of God make all of us to forsake the way of unbelief and disobedience, and lead us in the way of peace and rest in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God may receive the praise forever and ever. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit will help us to feel the danger and feel the weight of the price we have to pay for our disobedience, for our rejecting and turning away from the Lord Jesus Christ. May Your Spirit bring this weight to bear upon our hearts, and that it will turn us to Thee before it is too late. That, Lord, You will help us to learn from Jonah, that we may humbly submit, subject and to surrender ourselves to Thee, to Your will. And give us the faith, Lord, to believe, to trust, and to obey. Help us, we pray, in this new week, as You have so graciously provided and given us a new week and a new beginning. O Lord, we pray that in this new week You will help us to live our lives to the fullest, meaningfully and purposefully, for Thy glory and to enjoy Thee. Hear this our prayer. Amen.